Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you Mr. Nguyen Griggs. Nguyen, why don't you just take it from here?
Thank you so very much, Tanya. I'm glad to be on this call. I'm glad to be talking with everyone in the Virtual Summit from PSA, and I'm looking forward to a wonderful day. Thank you for all that you do. So, like a lot of people, I want to go and tell you a little bit about myself first, and then tell you a little bit about what my topic is going to be about. I'm Nguyen Tom Griggs. I'm here in Houston, Texas. I've had the pleasure of being able to be in education for a number of years, especially in the higher education environment arena. I'm currently doing professional training in the corporate and organizational side, personal, you know, select coaching, and generally just working with people to better themselves and better their organizations. Now, a lot of us do the same thing, and that's a great thing to do. The difference with me is my background for the last 20 years has been in working with and teaching and learning martial arts. Specifically, I'm a student of Japanese Jiu-Jitsu. The school I train at here is in Houston, Texas, called TNT Jiu-Jitsu. Wonderful school with an incredible instructor, Sensei Tori Overstreet. Have great staff, great people, and we really go out there and change lives. The biggest difference for me, I've noticed, is the confidence I learned earning my black belt, teaching little kids, youth, teen, adults alike, sometimes people who have special health and disability challenges, is that everyone who wants to learn, everyone who wants to gain and seek knowledge can have it. The biggest issue for most people is finding someone who's willing and able to actually teach them. So I learned through earning my black belt, and I have several, that the journey is important and sometimes more important than the actual attainment itself. We've all heard that. Martial arts for some people in the West is something that you do, you get rank, you get titles, you get belts, you get trophies, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. For some of us who have taken the ethos to heart, it's a journey of your life. It's a way of living. It's a code of living. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that and what it means. And my whole topic today is called Finding Your Inner Black Belt. So, like I said, I've been doing martial arts for about 20 years myself, and I love it. It's challenging at times. You have to make sacrifices. There are days I don't want to go, and I have to. There are days I want to go to class, but I have to go do something else. So, like a lot of things in life, being in martial arts, especially if you're a black belt and a black belt instructor, you have to make those sacrifices. You have to make choices. So that led me to ask the basic question to a lot of people. In my speaking, I'm in front of organizations. This morning I was bringing this up in front of a corporate client that was having some troubles with change management and merger-related issues. And I asked a simple question about what do they worry about, what is it they're dealing with. And a lot of it's dealing with fear. And so a lot of people think that when they earn their black belt, classic example, that I have all these skills in the world, so I'll be able to walk into a room full of bad guys and clean house like a Chuck Norris film. That's great because it's a Chuck Norris film. The reality is, as we look at being a black belt, sometimes you realize the most important thing you can do is use good judgment. Learning what to do, when to do, and how to do it. Not just if you're on the floor training, sparring, whether you're a grappling person or a stand-up fighting person, but take those same principles in everyday life. So that started me to ask the question, what does it really mean to have a black belt? What does a black belt really mean itself? So I want to start with the beginning. Most people who've been in martial arts, who put their kids or know someone in martial arts, know that you all start off with what? The white belt. It's the very beginning of what you do. Now, there's a little bit of a story behind what the white belt really means. Originally, in some countries, when you were learning and training under a teacher, whatever country it is, they gave you a uniform and they had to tie it together. Well, the easiest thing to make was a light-colored sash. Maybe it was beige, maybe it was white. Color, as many people who know about textiles can tell you, is always a harder thing to do. So basic fabrics were always white, light-colored. So you only had one sash or belt to hold your clothing together while you trained. What happened is over the years, you kept the same belt. You kept the same piece of cloth to keep your clothing together. And through wear and tear and time, it got dirtier from sometimes blood, sometimes from a lot of sweat and just dirt. So it began to darken. So the colors would get darker and darker. And at some point, the people who were highly, highly trained, who spent many years training, had a very dark-colored belt. So it almost went to the point of being almost a black belt. Hence, you began to see the progression of rank through the years. Well, I look at the same idea in life. When we start off with anything, a relationship, personal or professional, we start off with a new job, any undertaking, we want to earn our degree, you know, try and improve our relationship with someone. We sometimes start off from a very beginning foundation as white belts. We have an idea of what we want. We have an idea of what we want to be. But sometimes we don't realize the kind of struggles and hardships it will take to get there. But that's the beauty of being a white belt. The whole principle behind being a white belt is that as long as your mind is free and clear and your heart is determined, you're going to get there. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take work. But you can get there. The journey itself is just really important. Along the way, for a lot of people in martial arts, we make friends. We struggle. Sometimes we don't always get along with our teachers. Sometimes we don't agree. Part of learning that lesson is to respect, always to respect. And it's okay that if you don't see it the same way, but trust. Trust your teacher. Trust your seniors. Trust the people in the class who are trying to help you. Now, how does that translate to our life? Same thing. There are days when our journey is difficult. We can't see, you know, the road in front of us 5 feet, depending on where you live. When it's foggy or difficult. But you have to trust yourself, but also trust those around you. Sometimes the toughest voice you'll ever have to deal with is the one inside, especially when the ones around you are telling you you're doing it the wrong way, but that's not the way you want to go. People are stubborn. One of the reasons that you earn a black belt is along the way you've helped work on the ego. And by the ego, I mean that part of us doesn't want to let go. You know, one of the beautiful things I love about Japanese jiu-jitsu is that we learn how to get out of things. If somebody grabs us a certain way, learn how to move our bodies, maybe twist your wrist or twist your arm, maneuver ourselves in such a way that their grip lessens. So you begin to learn how to release. You begin to learn how to move around. There's a saying that movement is life and stagnation is death. So in Japanese jiu-jitsu, we call that taizabaki, moving your body. Movement creates movement. Like they say, motion creates emotion and those kind of ideas. Same principle. I can't stand there and meet your strength with my strength, especially if you're stronger. So you learn how to move strategically with knowledge, with care, with regard, and always understanding that you're trying to get away and get into a better position, not just in life, maybe spiritually, maybe physically. So part of understanding what we go through to become a black belt is that we have to recognize what the beginning is about, what the journey is going to entail, and absolutely, one of my other points is there's going to be struggle. But you have to be okay with knowing that you're going to have struggles. It's going to be difficult. I can't tell you the number of times in my life when I stepped on the floor and a sensei, and I've had quite a few teachers throughout the 2 decades plus I've been in martial arts, have put me against someone who's either bigger, younger, faster, stronger, or all of the above. When I was younger and strong and fast, it was fun. It was who could outdo the other person, who was stronger, who had more endurance. And that's great. But is that the beauty and sometimes the folly of youth? When we have all the energy in the world, when we have the flexibility our bodies can take what seems like the punishment, whether it's going out there and overdoing it on the mats or going out there and overdoing it, you know, partying, all these different things, our bodies, we feel that we can take it. But I had quite a few teachers tell me, you're really strong, you're really fast, but I need you to be smart. I need you to learn the concepts. Because as Sensei Tori loves to say, the one thing is when you stay in an arch, when you have longevity, the older you get, the closer to the ground you get. So if I had kept on training the way I trained when I was younger, hard, rough, tumble, you know, meet your head on, bash yourself in, that's great. But when you get older, you feel those aches and pains. I know a lot of you listening to this can remember playing sports maybe in grade school, high school, and college, really hard sports. Maybe you had some tough and pretty bad injuries. Well, when you got that, later on in life, you begin to feel those. And the weather changes, and going up and down those stairs is not as easy as it used to be. So we learn to train smart as well as train hard. One of the things I love about our dojo is our motto is safety first, because we want you to keep training and keep learning and keep going. And anything you undertake in life should have the same principle to it. Keep being able to work with safety, working with your best interest at heart first and foremost. And finally, thing that goes in that first portion is, there's reason. Why do people seek out a black belt? What do they think it will give them? And over the years, in many, many schools that I've been in, I've met many black belts. I've met many people who aspired. They seem awestruck about the idea of getting a black belt. But again, it looks great, but like anything else, you got to be ready for all the things that it entails, all the hard work, all the beliefs, all the sacrifice, all the days where you just want to quit. You know, I had the pleasure of contributing a chapter to a book authored by Les Brown and about 30-plus other authors. And in that book, I told a story of earning my doctorate degree in education from the University of Houston Central Campus. And that was a 9-year process, and having an undergrad and a master's took few years than that. But the thing that I loved the most was at the end of that chapter, the one thing I said was, when my little boy gets older and he gets to tell me, Daddy, this is hard. Daddy, this is difficult. I want to quit. I don't think I can do it. I can put my arm around him and tell him, son, let me tell you about a time when I had to deal with something difficult. So the same principles I use in martial arts all these years, and I still use to this day, I use those to think about what would happen if I'm trying to earn my doctorate and I quit. Nothing could stop me but me. Nothing was going to hold me back but me. So I pushed through it. There's sometimes when you have to confront things head on, just like you see in the movies. Hopefully you're not having to fight an army of 30,000 people. Hopefully not. But whatever you have to deal with, you have to know that you can meet it with strategy and with good thought, but always with heart and courage. We look at all these things that we have to deal with, but we have to go after them because if we want them badly enough, we have to do whatever it takes. The second thing I want to talk about is the perception of what a black belt is versus what it's not. A lot of people think, oh, man, you have a black belt. You must be bad. You're tough. You're all these great things. Yeah, depending on the school and the style, you can be all kinds of different things. But see, it's more than just about fighting and physical ability. A lot of schools, and this is not in any way a negative remark against anyone, will let students start at a very early age. And sometimes children as young as 8, 9, or 10 have earned a black belt. Now, that's great. But for some of us who are a little more traditional, and again, this is not meant to be negative, we see the black belt as something different. And so the time it takes to actually earn that black belt is not just about how many times you come, how many lessons and private lessons you take, is do you really understand what you know, how it affects other people's lives, and the ways you can touch people's lives or damage their lives. You know, sometimes a punch is a punch and a kick is a kick. But from someone who's skilled, that can change someone's life in a bad way. So having the emotional control is important. Having the maturity and the spiritual growth to be able to live up to that is really important. You know, another thing is, too, is we talk very much in our school about the principle of how we carry ourselves. Yeah, we, like a lot of commercial schools, we have T-shirts, we have hoodies and different things that represent what we do because it's good, you know, wear and garment. It's good advertising. But like anyone else, I would never want to be out in public with friends and loved ones, you know, drinking and acting a fool, but wearing school stuff because reflects badly on the boys and girls and the fellow instructors at my school. And you never know who's looking at you. You never know. In the day of smartphones and cameras, how you can be made a fool of, well, pretty much by yourself and be caught in the public eye. So it's important to keep in mind, you know, what name do you really carry? Do we forget that sometimes people want to blow off steam? There's a good way and a bad way to do it. See, the same principles can apply. You don't have to be in martial arts to understand martial arts principles. I represent a lot of people. I represent my teacher, my fellow instructors. I represent people who used to go to our school. I represent my teacher's teachers. I represent people I've trained in the past. So I carry myself in a certain way with a degree of pride and dignity because that's who I am. We all like to have fun. But it's about you making good choices again. And it's a perception. What kind of person are we? Are we really tough? There are some people who, unfortunately, have brought a bad name to the idea of being a black belt. But look at your industry. Are there people in your industry who do things a certain way? You know, we laugh and joke, and people ask, what do you do? Well, I'm an attorney. And then from all the lawyer jokes are, I sell cars. What kind? Used cars. And then, you know, the laughs happen. But, you know, for all the good work that a lot of people do in those industries, there's people who have bad reputations. And we understand that. So we have to also remember that we carry the name of not just ourselves and people around us, sometimes our industry with us. So when you walk forth today, what actions will you take tonight? What things will you do that will reflect upon you and your industry, the people around you? And here's the reality. It's hard. See, you can spend anywhere from 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years in a martial arts school, working hard and diligently, sweating and learning and dealing with frustration and earning your black belt. And we will applaud you and think very well of you. Good job. But there's an old, almost like Zen joke that says, what do you call a black belt? It's simply known as a white belt that didn't quit. Or another reality is, what is a black belt? A really good, ready beginner. Everyone who earns a black belt usually has a teacher tell them, good job, congratulations, this is just the beginning. Now the learning can begin. because you've demonstrated that you put the time and effort and sacrifice in to go through all the rigor to get ready to truly learn what it means. You know, one of the models that you see for the summary of this talk is anyone can get their black belt. It's not easy. It's probably going to be hard. But living up to that is much harder. The reality of what that means is much harder. So getting it is one thing. Keeping it figuratively and literally is another thing altogether. So what I want to do in the last portion is talk about the whole summary of this, which is how do you find your inner black belt? Like anything else, start out with your end in mind. Whether your goal is I want to earn my degree, I want to get that promotion, I want to become a better parent, a better spouse, significant other, a better child to my parents, or anything. What is your end in mind? See, as my mentor Les Brown said, everything I'm going to say is nothing new. It's common knowledge, it's not common practice. And that being said is, what do you want to do first? And if you start with your end in mind, everything else becomes easier. You can't get in a plane and pilot it not knowing where you're going to go. Without a destination, we're just going to run around in circles. I believe it was Zig Ziglar who said, people who aim at nothing hit it every time. So you got to have a goal. You have to have a target. And you have to know that it's worth it. Be ready for the struggles, but it means something to you. Even if no one else thinks it's worthwhile. I can't tell you the number of times students have said, man, I'm really loving training, but my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my parents or my friends are saying, man, why do you keep on going to that school? Da-da-da, da-da-da. It's like, well, I'm learning something. People don't see the value in what you do all the time. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just not their journey. And we've all heard that before. Again, second thing, know that it's hard, but it's worth it. You know, there's also that great saying that Les Brown once said is that everything that is hard is not worth it, but everything that is worth it will definitely be hard. I can tell you a number of times I'm just sore, tired, sweaty, and just don't want to continue, but I have to keep going. And that's just a regular night of class, a regular night of exercise and push-ups and sit-ups and squats and all these things after a very long day, but it's worth it to me. Because not if I just have to use it, which is always a benefit, but knowing that every day I go and I struggle and I push through another day, it's maybe I've moved and grown as a person. But that's my perception. That's my journey. That's how I see it. And understand, too, that once you've earned it, once you have it, you will never forget what it means to you. Because, as our instructor says, you become part of a family, a brotherhood or a sisterhood of people who have worked hard and gone through. Oftentimes, when people at our school, our dojo, train for their black belts, they do it in groups. Because it's harder to go at it alone. And we have groups of people come in to work with you and to challenge you and to attack you so you can defend yourself. But you have people running with you when you do your 1 or 2 mile run. You have people cheering you on when you're doing your sit-ups and push-ups and the fitness test. And you have people who are there to help you out and cheer you on. But sometimes you have other people going through the same thing. Think about your education. Think about your college classmates or your high school buddies. There's some of y'all had some struggles. But those struggles build and forge relationships. Those struggles help define your character for you as the individual, but also for the people around you. You become part of something. It's like training camps for sports teams. You go through so much difficulty. You have so many times getting yelled at and getting tired, making mistakes and told you got to run extra laps and do extra push-ups. But you remember that the struggle was important to you because you never, ever forget how important everything was because it feels so good and tastes so nice when it's yours. When your teacher comes and wraps that belt around your waist, ties it around your waist, you feel very different. And you walk differently. You talk differently. You carry yourself differently. I'm a very strong proponent of live up to that rank. Be the kind of person other people want to be. It's not about being prideful. It's about being a dignified individual. I think we can all look at the world today and wonder how many people need a good boost in terms of pride and dignity and self-respect. So that's a really important lesson that we look at in our school and the way we train and work with other people. And the last thing I want you to understand, too, is once you've earned your black belt, which is a great, great, and wonderful thing, never forget, take the time to tie someone else's white belt on them. This is another way of saying mentoring, giving back, helping, doing for others. Because someone did it for you. Every time a new student comes to our school and signs up, if I'm there and I'm walking through, hey, here's how you put your uniform on. Okay. Hey, they always ask, how do you tie this on? So I'll show you in a minute. So they come in and I'm always talking with them, making them feel comfortable and warm, like as we all should. And then when they're done, I take them out and I go ahead and put the belt on. and I show them how to tie it on, and I show them how to tie it, and some, it's going to take some time to practice it. But I remember either kneeling down or bending over and tying quite a few white belts on brand new students when I taught at the university and when I even helped teach here at the TNTGS in Houston. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience for me because it makes a big difference in their lives and the things that they do. Someone did it for me, so I want to do it for others. So, in summary, as I conclude, understand what the black belt really means to you. It's like, what is your end goal? What is this great thing that you want to partake? You know, it may be small to others, but great to you. Understand what something is versus what it is not. People don't always understand what it is that you want to do or why you're doing it. But again, it's not always their journey. It's not always their reason to know. As long as it's important and meaningful to you, that's what matters. And finding your inner black belt starts with understanding with the end in mind, knowing that it's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. Once you have it, you've forged something special for your life. And most importantly, give back to others, do for others, and create for others. So in closing, I want to thank all of you. If you want to get in contact with me, my website is www.ntgriggs.com. That's N like Nancy, T like Tom, Griggs, G-R-I-G-G-S.com. And if you also want to learn more about this amazing martial arts school that I'm part of here in Houston, it's www.tntjujitsu.com. That is T like Tom, N like Nancy, T like Tom, Jiu-Jitsu, J-U-J-I-T-S-U. It's been a wonderful experience speaking with everyone. I hope you all have a wonderful day. You've done the great work that we're all doing. Tanya, thank you for all the wonderful work that you do. I hope we all can find a way to find our inner black belt and do more for others and give more to others. Thank you very much.